You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. My name is Sue, and Carl and Stuart and I will be guiding you through the next 60 minutes. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. This week, we're going to be talking about one of the massive campaigns of the year, National HIV Testing Week. We'll have information from Brighton's HIV organisations and some of their events. Do contact us on hivhour@gmail.com and why not follow us on Twitter on hiv_hour. If you missed the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, you can listen again on Monday at 4 p.m. and Tuesday at 12 p.m. or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on readyourreverb.com.
Hi everyone.
Hi.
How is everyone?
I'm just looking at a different face on Spinning the Decks, and you're probably thinking, is she from the 1970s?
Well,
I am.
Decks.
Yeah, we got Stuart. You're manning
the desk.
Would you what would you say you're doing today, Stuart? Apart from John in a fantastic conversation.
Hoping it all goes well, really.
Oh, well, it will with you at the desk.
Yeah,
there.
But I've got you two to guide me through it, and Ben, of course.
So, Carl, what have you been up to this week?
Been helping you out with a few talks.
Yes,
Across Sussex. I actually did a talk last week for 50 community nurses up in Guildford, which is really interesting, talking about HIV, living with HIV well as well.
Uh-huh.
So that was really interesting. What have you been up to? Anything interesting?
Yeah, Well, as I say, we are going to be talking about National HIV Test Week. It's one of the biggest campaigns of the year in Brighton and outside of Brighton. We've obviously got the run-up to World AIDS Day, so there's lots of stuff going on in the city, so lots of work to be done. And Stuart, what have you been doing?
This week, I gave my dog a haircut.
Do you do that yourself?
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, you're trained in... Is it clipping
I just use my own clippers.
They're not toe clippers.
No. They look quite messy, but they're quite pleased. All the other dogs laugh at them in the park.
I bet.
You've got a decent haircut, but
so he's all nice and trim for winter, is he?
He's all looking nice and trim for winter. I bought a bed as well.
What for you or for him?
For me and the dogs.
Oh, right, okay.
And my ex.
I was going to say, get the partner out of the way. Yeah. The dogs.
Oh, so you've had quite a busy week as well.
Yeah, it's been a nice week. Yeah,
we've got a bit of a good show on today, haven't we, Stuart? Some exciting
You've picked some
things.
Music as well, haven't you?
I did,
Okay.
And what I'm looking forward to is hearing a bit more about Stuart.
Okay.
Yeah? Right. Ooh, yeah. Mm. Did you know that?
No.
So should we see what the first song is?
Yeah, let's have a song.
Okay.
Welcome back to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. HIV Testing Week. Well, let's talk about
it. HIV Testing Week. National campaign.
National.
Gets bigger every year.
Yeah, so the 16th, this Saturday.
It starts this Saturday.
For 7 days. And it is to urge people as much as possible, if you haven't been tested before, or if you have been tested and it's been a while, we are trying to get everyone to get as many people tested as possible. We've got billboards throughout Brighton and Hove, on the buses as
on
well.
On the buses, and on a lot of the buses, you've got the finger, and you've got one of, I can't remember his name, a very, very good-looking doctor who's doing some very great campaign, and he's so good-looking, I can't remember his name, he's a famous TV doctor, and it's the give HIV the finger.
Yeah.
Basically, what that is saying, it really does only take a finger prick test to establish whether you are HIV positive
20
or
minutes.
Not. It doesn't hurt.
No. And we had many different ways of testing. We spoke about it last week on the show, didn't we? Which was Martin Fisher, the vending machines. So you can go into different places in Brighton, get the vending machines. You can get them delivered to your home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can go to the Terence Higgins Trust, the GUM Clinic, the Claude Nicole.
STI clinics.
There are many, many ways of getting a HIV test. And we tend to find anyone that has a HIV test and they become HIV negative, so they don't get HIV, mm-hmm. we tend to find that they will follow that suit.
Yeah.
They will always want to stay negative. Yes. And that is the way forward. So we know that testing... I remember I went for my finger prick test, mm-hmm. and one dot would come up and everything's fine, and then two dots come up, HIV is detected. And it is a scary... It can be a scary process, but there's lots of people around you that can give you support.
Why not take a friend with you?
Exactly.
Go and have one together. Yeah. Or if you're both in a relationship, how about this? You're both in a relationship. You both perhaps haven't been tested for a while. Go along together. Hold each other's hands while they're doing it. You know, just get tested. We're really, really passionate about this.
We just want to make it as normal as possible, HIV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We always say this in our talks about that you get a car. Mm-hmm. You MOT your car.
Absolutely.
And it's only fair that you MOT your own body every 6 to 12 months. Keep up to date with all your tests. We know that we have a spike in Brighton in syphilis and gonorrhea.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is really important that HIV testing week is all over the place.
Mm. That's good, yeah.
We've got some information about National HIV Testing Week, and this comes from Travis at the Terence Higgins Trust, and he's going to give you the dates where you can test in the city from Saturday.
Okay, shall we have a listen to that now?
Yeah.
Radio Reverb.
So I'm here with Travis from Terence Higgins Trust. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
So what's your role at Terence Higgins Trust?
So I'm the Health Promotion Outreach and Community Engagement Coordinator for THT in Brighton. So it sounds like a big job, but I look after the outreach team and do testing and training as well. So it's quite a big job.
There's lots of stuff coming up now, isn't there?
We're on the approach to National Testing Week, so National HIV Testing Week, which starts on the 16th. Of November and runs through to the 24th. So we're going to be out and about at the universities doing testing, and THT are open from 10 until 8 p.m. every day, Monday to Friday. We're encouraging as many people to come forward and test in order to help us continue the downturn of HIV transmission in the city.
It's very popular. It's very it gets a lot of people come along, doesn't it?
So we do get quite busy, but we also get busy the weeks before and the week after. So just remember that over the next few weeks, it'd be good to come forward and, like I say, help that downward trend of HIV diagnosis in the city.
I've seen on the buses, I've seen a lot of advertisements on the buses.
Yes. And the Martin Fisher Foundation have recently launched one of the Brighton Hove buses that has been designed to break through the stigma of HIV, and it has different slogans on, like, HIV isn't scary, and different things to try and encourage people to understand HIV in 2019, but also to remember that testing is the only way to know. So however you test, wherever you go over the next few weeks, National Testing Week is there to raise awareness of HIV testing is still really important.
Great. And also World AIDS Day is coming up at the 1st of December, so there's lots of things going on there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, that's correct. I believe Glenn is coming.
He's going to be on the show, yeah?
Yeah, so Glenn looks after the library, and he's going to come and talk about the events that are happening at the library. We're having the World AIDS Day candlelit vigil, which is on the Sunday the 1st of December, and that's in Newsteen Gardens, and that's held every year. But it's also the 10 years of the Tay statue, and that's the HIV memorial statue in Newsteen Gardens. So also we're marking the fact that it's been 10 years since the statue was erected. There's going to be an exhibition in the library and a short video as to the reasons behind the creation of that. So it's really exciting.
A poignant year then this year.
Yeah, for 10 years and to mark World AIDS Day as we normally do as a city.
Yeah. Great. So could you just say the dates of the HIV testing week again?
Yes. It starts on the 16th of November and runs through until the 24th of November. Yeah. But we've also had them dates printed in GCN, so they'll be out in the November edition that's just come out, along with all of the World AIDS Day fundraising events that will be taking place, and the Mr. Sublime competition, and also the World AIDS Day fundraiser at Charles Street as well. So it's all detailed on the Facebook page for the World AIDS Day, and also in GC.
Yeah, and we'll be promoting it on the show as well.
Yeah, in the next coming weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Travis.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, Josh.
97.2 FM. Radio Reverb. Welcome back to RadioReverb.com and Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Today we're talking about HIV and HIV Testing Week, and we've got some more news to follow on from that, haven't we, Sue, today?
We have, yes.
And I know you've been heavily involved in a campaign mm-hmm. recently, and we've had figures come out that women have been failed by missed opportunities mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to get a HIV diagnosis, and they either not testing on time or testing mm-hmm. too late mm-hmm. and I believe you've been quite involved in the process of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically to do with you know, if we think about it, just over 40% of people living with HIV are women. Mm. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that. Mm. So we're just talking about just under half of the HIV population, women. And, you know, we believe that a lot of women are having missed opportunities for testing initiatives and what have you. So I recently took part in a campaign about women and the menopause, okay. HIV positive women right. in the menopause. And what we found that, you know, a lot of women are only coming to test as they're going through the menopause.
Right.
So basically, and this is what was happening, you know, and I resonate with some of the findings because I obviously went through this myself.
Okay.
I got diagnosed when I was 47. I was premenopausal.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, you know, I don't have to worry about condoms because I'm not going to get pregnant.
Sure.
So that was the first thing in my head. And I'll be honest, the second thing I thought of was, I don't really also have to worry about STIs, do I?
Right.
And that was, again, to do with lack of information,
yeah, okay.
you know. And, you know, and this is what was happening, you know. So basically, I got diagnosed with HIV, and this is what we're finding a lot of women are getting diagnosed as they're going through the menopause.
Right. So they're coming out of relationships, maybe?
Yeah, 20 years, 30 years, starting again
yeah.
and going into new relationships and thinking, well, you know, that they've had their younger days, we don't have to worry about sort of condoms or taking care.
Because we've had this with men as well, haven't we?
Oh, gosh,
you know,
yes.
There's a big spike that we have with men over 50 mm-hmm. diagnosing with HIV. And it's the end of relationships, end
yeah.
of, you know, divorces,
uh-huh.
going out there, thinking
uh-huh.
it's not going to happen to me.
Uh-huh.
It only happens to younger guys and girls.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the preconceptions of, you know, if you think of somebody, let's say, in their 50s and 60s now, when was it they had any sex education
uh-huh.
and what was
yeah.
What was it? Was there any at all?
Well, I don't remember nothing.
There we go.
And I'm just showing me age, but I don't remember nothing.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know.
So how do we do it? How do we
look,
get the message out
Do you know
there?
What I'd like?
Go on.
People ask me this all the time, and I've just recently done an interview with BBC Radio Sussex this morning, and I said exactly the same. We need a new campaign.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put women on the forefront there. Predominantly for women,
yeah,
yeah, because as we're having missed opportunities, we're not really represented enough in the HIV community. So that on its own, but I think overall we need a new campaign for older people.
Right, in general.
Yeah. You know, people a lot of the, one of the highest statistics of transmissions of HIV are in the over 50s.
Yeah.
These are the reasons why, and if we go back to women, that's a massive reason why. But overall, you know, people, you know, a majority of new transmissions are in the over 50s. So that needs to be recognised, that needs to be registered, and I believe there needs to new. We need to be re-educated in you know, look, there was a, I think we spoke about it some weeks ago, there was a gentleman that had turned 100 and
that's
he was
right.
living with
yeah.
HIV. Mm. And, you know, I know for a fact that some elderly people, and I say elder because they're reaching 80, and they're getting diagnosed with STIs
yeah.
and they're getting diagnosed with HIV. Yes, we're still having sex.
Yeah.
Older on life. You put it this way, Colin Stewart, okay?
Uh-huh.
Right. We have to work longer, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to pay our we're having to pay our taxes,
yeah.
aren't we?
Mm.
Yeah. Are we entitled to play longer, Stuart?
Yeah, I think so.
I should think so too. I should think so too.
And I think that is a very big point. People are living longer.
Yeah.
So there's consequences.
Yeah.
Perhaps we've got the old ideas, the misconceptions. Oh, I'm free as a bird.
Yeah.
I can just fly anywhere I want, but this is what's happening.
Yeah, it's important because we know through statistics that if someone is going to get gonorrhea or syphilis or chlamydia, they're actually more likely to contract HIV.
Yes.
Oh, right.
So,
because of their immune system.
The immune system has been compromised already,
yeah.
and therefore HIV can latch on a lot easier when other STIs are in place. So it is really important that when we go for a screening, sexual screening, we add on that HIV.
Yeah.
Because
just try and normalise it.
Yeah.
You know? Normalise it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So this is a fantastic opportunity for all those over 50s out there.
Yeah, that's really
good. Go out and test as much as you
can. And don't, look, I want to just say something before we just move on to a song. Do not do what I done. Do not wait until someone knocks on your front door and says, Sue, I've just been diagnosed with HIV. You need to go and get a test, because you don't all necessarily get signs and symptoms.
No.
Do not do what I done. I was lucky, Stuart.
Yeah.
I got tested in time. Other people may have those signs and symptoms, and it could be detrimental.
I
was lucky, so do not wait for that knock on the door.
No.
Yeah, great advice. Great
Absolutely.
Advice.
Okay. Should we go to a song?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Hi, you're listening to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. Stuart.
Yes.
Can you remember, because I believe you were diagnosed 20 years ago. You know, the theme is National HIV Testing Week. Can you remember, was there such a campaign 20 years ago?
Do you know what, 20 years ago when I got tested, there was nothing like HIV Testing Week.
Right.
It was all very sort of scary. Back then, you know, I went and got a test. I had pre-counselling for my test beforehand.
Right. Uh-huh.
Can I take you back?
Yeah, go on.
Were you poorly at any point beforehand?
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah,
right.
I became zero converted.
Right.
And so I was basically bedridden for. I was in somebody else's flat actually, and I couldn't leave their flat because I was so ill.
Mm.
And it was so embarrassing because I thought I was just stalking them or something, and that's what prompted me to get a test. And I waited 2 weeks for my results.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
It was scary.
Time.
Yeah,
2 weeks
it was.
Is a long time.
It was dark. It was scary.
Yeah.
People weren't as open as they are today about it. And the stigma then was a lot worse than it is now.
Do you mind asking where you did test? Where was it?
Yeah, at the Royal London.
Right.
Yeah. I got tested there and...
Were you put on medication straight away?
No. I was refused medication because the doctor at the time said... he'd rather wait until my CD4 level dropped, and I've got loads of infections very soon afterwards, and I got cancer, I think, within months.
Right.
Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they couldn't start me on treatment then until I'd done the chemo. So it's a real double whammy kind of thing.
Okay.
And and that's really quite interesting what you're saying, Stuart, and this is one of the reasons now that when someone is diagnosed now...
Yeah.
They will go on to medication
straight
immediately
away,
to stop. They're not going to look at your CDK. They're not going to look at... They're going to literally put you on that medication straight away. Apart from, you know, after a certain amount of weeks, you won't be able to pass the virus on. But that is going to suppress that virus and not... accumulate other infections.
It's a lot better for people to go onto treatment these days straight away. They believe now, and I believe that myself.
I know the reason why they didn't. I mean, 20 years ago, the pills, the medication that they were using, they weren't too sure what 20 years of damage it was going to do to the insides.
Exactly.
So that's why they would make sure that they would do it as late as possible. So they would wait for that CD4 count to drop, and then they would put you on medication.
Yeah.
We now know through studies.
Yeah.
But then the damage is done, isn't it?
Exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. So the medication started straight away. I was the same. I waited 6 years to go on medication for me. So so it is really important that in today today's.
Just also add, you know, there is so much money invested in more durable medication, medication that doesn't give such harmful side effects. Some of the medication is now off the market that used to give people some horrendous side effects. So, you know, and there's still research going into that medication to try and make it as kinder as possible. Look, there is going to be some side effects, you know, and anyone on any long-term medication, whether it's for HIV, whether it's for cancer or anything else. But, you know, a lot of research, a lot of money goes into making sure, because we're going to be on that medication for the rest of our lives, it's going to be hopefully the kindest possible.
Yeah, I think some medication, you can just take one tablet a day.
Yes.
I've got three tablets.
But, in London, you can get the injection now.
Yeah, that's starting in trials,
Okay, what's that? Is that like a cure or
whatever?
It suppresses the virus for a whole month.
All right, so you have an injection once a month?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, okay.
So it's in trials, it's working, it's been A-OK'd
at
the FDA
good.
In America. So in the UK, it's nearly there to be finalised. Because we know that pill taking can be quite troublesome as well for some people. Mm-hmm. One, it's a reminder you've got HIV. And then two, it's, you know, the size of the pills can also be hard to take. So that's why they're thinking of other ways of helping suppress the virus, and they're looking at injections as well.
Wow.
I just wanted to talk to Stuart. 20 years ago, was there any support around for you 20 years ago?
Well, there was counselling at the hospital. But
offered
there was,
to you by?
By the people that would organise the tests.
Okay. Like
the nurses and stuff at the time, but there was something called the Globe Centre in East London, and they were like
small charities.
So you could drop in, you could see counsellors, get some therapy there, you'd have a lunch there. There wasn't a huge amount of support, but there's just like these little places, the Globe Centre, Positive East was one of them, but nothing really mainstream like it is today. People are quite lucky these days.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from out there.
And doctors aren't so kind of, funny about it. I mean, my doctors in the past, I mean, I got a sick note. My first sick note said AIDS on it.
Did it really?
Yeah.
No
and,
way.
I still got that, actually. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, bet.
Yeah, so that was quite scary. Cause, oh, my God, what's going to happen to me? But these days, getting tested, you've got so much help out there. And there's so much less stigma than there was as well.
I'm just about to ask you, Stuart, what would you say to the listeners that are listening to yourself living with HIV for the last 20 years. Now we've got National HIV coming up, or any time, let's not just wait for National HIV Testing Week. What would you say to some of the listeners that perhaps know people that they think, actually, they should go for a test, or they haven't, I know they haven't been tested for a while. What would you say to the listeners from your experience, the benefits of going for a HIV test?
Well, I would say, before you wait until you get ill, if you've got an inkling, you know, go and get tested straight away. It's the best thing you can do, really. And if you are positive, you know, it's not the end of the world these days. And there's lots of support out there. And like you guys were saying, the medication is constantly evolving.
Yes.
And there's HIV Testing Week, which is a fantastic thing. Wasn't around when I was diagnosed, as I said. And I just recommend getting tested as soon as possible and get it out of the way. And like you're saying, maybe if you're in a relationship, go with your partner, hold hands, as you were saying, Sue. And, you know, it's got to be a good thing in the end. It's about self-preservation and, you know, leading a healthy, normal life. And getting tested and getting your medication, if you are positive, is going to be the best way.
Great. Thanks for that, Stuart.
It's great to get an insight as well from 20 years ago, which is great. Should we have a little bit of music?
Let's go for it.
We're going to do some world news now. We always try and look at what's happening across in the States as well, because they obviously have advances and they have many, many stories as well. And there's one that I came across which disheartened me a little bit, and it's something to do with stigma. And we know stigma plays a very big part in someone living with HIV. So it was basically, the headline is a woman, a HIV woman, who sues a spa. She got refused to have a massage because she's living with HIV. So what they did, she just walking into the room, and the woman said, have you got any health conditions that we...
They're normally filling out a questionnaire.
And this was just a general conversation that she was having with the therapist. And the therapist said, have you got any health conditions that I need to be aware of? And the woman just said, HIV, but that's not an issue. She went out and the lady came back and said, the management have asked you to basically get a GP note to say that it's okay for you to have a massage because you're HIV.
My God.
Now, I know it's the stigma that is there, but I always get really frustrated with this, because it's stigma that comes from a place of not knowing. So if you've got someone that... I always take that as an opportunity to educate someone in that case. If that ever happened to me, that's how I would sort of say, back up. This is what we know about HIV, and this is what you can't do. She did try that route, and she has succeeded in suing.
She's managed to put a claim in because they're big on claims in the States. I bet she got a packet, didn't she?
Yeah, but it's one of those things that is just bizarre that it's still happening in today's society. HIV can be discriminated in that way. And I remember a great story that you used to tell in the schools when we go out into the schools, Sue, and it was, I believe it's something to do with ear piercing.
I remember it was just after my diagnosis, actually, and I thought, well, I'm going to do something really brave. Well, I thought it was brave, Stuart. I know you give me funny looks, thinking I'm going to get my ears pierced. Okay, so I went in, I booked in a really lovely top salon. Do they call them those?
You can.
Yeah, well, that was posh, it was expensive, okay. And I remember going in, I remember choosing my earrings, and I remember having the coffee and the shortbread biscuits, you know. And then, so the whole experience was, to start off, really lovely, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then I chose my earrings, and then she said, could you just fill out this little questionaire? I said, so I put my coffee down, and you know what I'm going to say.
I think I know where you're going.
And one of the questions was, do you do intravenous drugs or used intravenous needles? I thought to myself, not that I can remember. Do you have hepatitis A, B, and all the A, B's and C's? I know I've been tested and I haven't got that. Are you living with HIV?
God.
And it was asked me to tick whatever boxes that were appropriate. Now, bearing in mind, I hadn't even been diagnosed a year, Stuart, So I'm still feeling quite... Yeah. I'm trying to empower myself with moving on, right? You get that, you get that message. And within about 30 seconds, I said to myself, do I tick it, give it back to this young beautician, and then see the look on her face, and then feel absolutely dreadful? Will I put myself through that, or shall I not tick it? I knew there was no risk of transmission. Yeah.
So what did you do?
I didn't tick it.
Good for you.
I didn't want to go through the experience.
Yeah, there was
If I went there again today, it would be a completely different story. Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
You put them right.
I would certainly be questioning them. And just bizarrely, just going back to the massage room. Do you know I recently turned 60 this year? Anyway, my daughter arranged to... My daughter arranged a wonderful spa day for my birthday. Yep. There was champagne and everything else, and we had to fill out this questionnaire. My daughter goes, "Don't start, Mum. Don't start." I says, "Look, Let's hope I don't have to question it. And you know what? I didn't have to question it because it wasn't on there.
Wow.
And my daughter went, as a sigh of relief, because she knows I will really question things.
I mean, we've been quite flippant with that, but it's actually a really serious problem throughout.
It is.
It's really daunting, isn't it?
Stigma and disclosure. Yeah. So even we've got it with dentists. We've got it with you. Should you divulge information to your GP? And all of this, and we all get stuck about whether we should be disclosing to our dentists and our healthcare professionals. And it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. Dentists are usually quite more trickier than doctors and stuff, aren't they? But there are some dentists are worse than others. I heard somebody recently who their dentist would put glasses on and put two pairs of gloves on.
It happens, and that's why it's really important that we get the message out there. Anybody on effective treatment that's HIV positive cannot pass the virus on.
And can I just reiterate that we're not just talking about unprotected sex we're talking about all those other things we've just been talking about, right? Okay, and let's just sort of finish on this bit before we go on to another bit of music. HIV don't like living outside the body.
No.
It dies within seconds.
It does. Exactly. Temperature kills it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So temperature change kills it. Those messages are really important that need to be pushed out.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's go for another song then, shall we?
Mm.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone. Some great music today, Stuart.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice.
Bopping up and down there, Stuart.
I know.
It's a playlist.
It's good to have a variety of music. Yes. And, we urge our listeners to also message in to www.radioreverb.com, and they can leave messages and they can ask.
That's cool.
Put requests in if they
That's
want.
That's a brilliant idea.
Anything our listeners want to listen to, we'll be happy to sort of play that forward.
Yeah.
So we're just going to end on our biggest story of this week, which is HIV testing week, which does start this Saturday, and that is the Saturday the 16th of November running through to the 24th of November, and we're just trying to get as many people tested as possible up and down the country. You asked Stuart what kind of message he could give out to somebody wanting to test. And I always feel, for me personally, that it's better to know than not to know.
I agree.
Would have been mortified if I'd not been tested and I'd passed it on to someone by accident. You know, that's not a nice thing to go through.
No.
So we do urge people, it is better to know than not to know. Simple as that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, so we're just going to end on some kind of local news and what's going on. We always try and get as many of the LGBTQ involved in the listings as well. So we've got Lunch Positive that happens. You've been to the Lunch Positive, you go there, don't you, Stuart?
Yeah, speaking to Gary about getting him in for an interview and stuff like that. He's well up for that.
So that is...
They have a fantastic Christmas party there.
Yeah, they do.
As in food, it's like a three-four course, isn't it?
It's a nice community-based environment and it's every Friday.
It's every Friday and they do it once a month for the over 50s.
Okay.
Right,
and it's been going for quite a few years. I went to the very start of it actually when Gary first started it up.
Right.
Really?
I think it's brilliant. It's a lovely place to go to. Lots of support there and of course the food is really nice.
And
as well.
I think Gary's always looking for volunteers, isn't he?
Yeah,
Stuart?
Gary is always looking for volunteers. So people just to, you know, make people feel comfortable, talk
get
to them.
Connected,
get connected, community. And access services and stuff
And just have a fantastic lunch.
Yeah, and just have a bit of company, you know, as well.
It's all subsidised as well. So it's
£1.50.
And we do believe that if you struggle for the £1.50, that is not an issue.
No, it's not.
You can still go and see Gary and you can still get your meal for free. So that's really important. Obviously, we want to put as much information out there as possible. Terence Higgins Trust are leading forward with HIV testing week this week, and their offices will be open until late. All night next week.
Right.
So really important there.
That's really good.
And if there's any news and stuff that anybody wants to have on the show, then please let us know.
Yeah.
Can I also just mention the sexual health centres as well? Because unfortunately, Terence Higgins Trust will only test certain criteria.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, and that's fine. So, you know, but if you go there and if you can't get a test there, they will pathway you on to another service.
Okay.
So don't, you know, they'll give you, you know, tell you exactly where to go.
That's a good thing to know,
So, you know, so don't be deterred. Oh, you know, I've built up my courage. I've got there. Please don't be deterred. It's on the unfortunate thing is we're restricted by funding in Brighton, so our criteria, but I think they will sort of, you know, be a bit more lenient. And the idea is they want to get you, you know, they want to offer that test on every single opportunity.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to be talking about Prince Harry.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He's been in the press again with our
Gareth
lovely
Thomas.
Sports personality who is... the new Terence Higgins Trust Commissioner, Gareth Thomas.
Yeah,
yeah,
really
he's
good.
Determined to make sure that, you know, he works with us and breaks
that's really
stigma.
Good.
So he's going to be working aside of us. I'm hoping to meet him soon, not today.
Yeah, I'd love to meet him.
I think we'll give him a full story.
Give
a full story on him next week because it is a really interesting way that he's got involved with the charity.
Definitely.
And with him being the forefront of, you know, a sportsman.
A
well-known sportsman. Yeah. So it will be interesting to.
I've always seen him as a man's man, because he's got that physique.
Yeah,
he's got
a big guy, isn't he?
Well, it was a really good program on a few weeks about him actually. And I was amazed actually how he is and stuff, and how he's trying to get the message out there and stuff. And you know, what a good man.
But no doubt we'll be, you know, talking a bit more about him and the work he's going to be doing in the future, as well with. You know, the charity and what have you. So.
So look forward to next week's show as well.
Yeah.
Josh is back next week.
Right.
We've got you behind him.
Yeah, I'm behind Josh.
Doing the mixing. So we look forward to next week's show as well.
Totally.
So.
Okay.
Time for a song.
Yeah, let's play the last song. It's coming up.